Hi, everybody. Hannah's looking at me. We're trying to figure out who's going to say start first.
I think I just overdrove the microphone. I was having a stare off.
Okay.
It was funny. I was about to say, welcome to episode. And I'm like, I honestly don't know anymore. It's 20, I think.
We said 20 like a couple ago.
That's the episode we didn't release. But you're right. So it really should be
22.
Yeah, but 21,
that would be 22.
So I have this note right on here. Organized,
it's Angela's
latest
awesome
episodes.
Podcast,
yeah,
by the way.
In case you didn't know where you were right now. And I don't know where I'm at because I'm actually not here where we're recording today.
Yeah, I know. Hannah's
today
out of the zip code.
I am out. Yeah, I'm actually in Hotlanta.
Yo. So I'm Angela Freeman, and this is Henno, who's not here but in hot Florida. What is it?
Hotlanta.
And we are podcasting today to talk about awesome tips, tools, and tricks on increasing energy. We're the second of our energy series.
Yeah, because last week was an overview of us in our lives and not having enough energy.
And what life's soul lesson can be around that. And now we're going to actually talk about some nuts and bolts around specific food strategies and ways to perhaps increase energy. Are you ready?
I think there's going to be some, just in having not had a chance to overview the material and just giving a quick look.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be some paradoxes.
Oh, I think there might be. There might be. Okay, so.
I love that word.
Just in case, I don't know. I just want to kind of do a little refresher. I am an eating psychology coach, and I got my training from the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, mainly. I've had a lot of time looking and finding ways to help people find sustainable solutions to food issues, body weight issues, losing weight, etc. So the Institute for the Psychology of Eating was founded by Mark David. They're both based in Boulder, Colorado. Love it. They have a great website if you want to check it out, if some of this stuff lands for you. And secondly, part of this, a lot of this stuff is from his book called The Slowdown Diet. So if anybody was like, wow, this stuff's cool and you want more, Mark David, Slow Down Diet, love it, completely recommend the book. So we're talking about energy and how to have more of it. Yeah, give me more.
Oh my goodness, I just lost my applause.
Okay, good. So number one tip when it comes to actual food strategies that will help increase energy is to eat slowly.
See, paradox right there.
Oh, right. Eat slowly. Well, that's what the name of the blog is, Slow Down to Fill Up.
That's awesome.
That's the name of the blog. There's two blogs that are going to support, that are going to go with this podcast. The second blog is going to be about the second tip, but the first one is about slow down to fill up. And the blog starts out by saying slow eating. It's what's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. we've talked about slow eating in this podcast a lot, but we believe in the power of repetition. So we're going to go through some more reasons. We're going to kind of re-chat about why it's so important to be a slow, relaxed eater.
Because
you might be new.
Because I really hope you would be new.
And I love this. I love being a slow, relaxed eater, and I still find it incredibly challenging sometimes. So it's on my radar. I know how important it is, and it's still a practice that is a practice for me. So I figure if you're listening to us here and there, or even if you're listening to us every week, if you're anything like me, you need to hear things over and over and over again. So slow eating. Why is it important to eat slow? Because when you eat quickly or multitask when you're eating, your body goes into a slight or moderate stress response. Okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about the stress response, but just a quick little thing. Here's the stress response is the body's fight or flight. It's an evolution. It's come down from when we were back, fighting or fleeing from animals, trying to survive. And when the body goes into fight or flight, it immediately says, okay, we've got to rally everything for immediate survival, which means release cortisol, release energy, send all the blood to the extremities, get ready to run or get ready to duke it out. Stop anything that's more geared toward long-term thriving. Stop digesting, stop assimilating, stop eliminating. I mean, you don't want to like have to pop over to the restroom in the middle of the fight or flight, right? So everything gets turned down. So when you eat fast, your body has a mild stress reaction. Your body goes into fight or flight. So basically, the digestion, assimilation, and elimination are all turned down significantly.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Okay. So what does this have to do with energy? I'm surprised you didn't give me the, what is the weird dog one that you go, ow?
The,
yeah. Yeah. What does this have to do with energy? So happy that you asked. The number one side effect of poor digestion is, guess what?
Low energy?
Yes. Hello. The number one side effect of poor digestion is low energy. So if you want it, so it makes sense that if that's a side effect of poor digestion and we want to turn digestion on, we need to become slow, relaxed eaters.
All right.
Okay. So slow down with food to have more energy.
I feel like I'm in class right now.
You are in class. Okay. So that, so some other things that will, around slow eating that will turn on digestion is, number one, pleasure. So when you're eating, it's helpful to actually eat and experience that and really decide if you're enjoying it. Because not only will you experiencing pleasure because you're going slow enough to actually experience it, you may end up eating less, and that's going to also aid in digestion if indeed you are an overeater.
Because we're slowing down and we're allowing the food and the nourishment to get through our body, and our body may say, okay, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, and the body wants a certain amount of pleasure, and it's going to tell you to keep eating. So if you're shoveling it in and you're not actually experiencing it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I don't know if anyone
it's
else
like
has done this.
It's like your pleasure threshold.
But if you have a, like an awesome dark chocolate bar and you're like hungry and you're just like, and you just chow it down, like you can, I can eat a lot of dark chocolate, but if I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a slow, relaxed eater. I'm going to have some other food first. And then as I have this slow, this dark chocolate bar, I'm going to actually just really experience it. I oftentimes will eat way less because I've actually experienced enough pleasure. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Have you had that happen?
I have. And you know me with my gummies and my stuff.
Yeah.
So,
Hanno likes his sugar, but he's doing better and working on it. It's one of our things.
Yeah.
Way better.
Remember the time that you... Thank you. Remember the time that you got me some of that Australian licorice from the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, right?
Yeah.
I honestly, because I'd never had it before, and I took one bite of it, and it was so good.
Yeah.
I actually ate it slow, and I think I only ate 4 pieces.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm good, because I think I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
Now, the next time, when I was just having a sugar fiend, I ate the entire freaking... you know,
container,
tub, the whole container, because I wasn't really eating it. So I know what you mean by that. I've had that experience.
And have you guys ever had the experience where you go to the movies and you buy your candy and then the movie's like super tense. And then all of a sudden you look down and you're like, where'd all that candy go? It's like,
oh yeah. Cause you're just shoveling. You're like,
right. Okay. So pleasure is part of, turning on digestion, breathing. Breathing's really helpful for learning to be a slow eater. Like if you can take a few breaths before you eat, like just, you know, deep into your belly breaths, it helps the body turn into parasympathetic dominance, which is the relaxation response, which is going to turn on digestion, going to turn on assimilation, going to turn on elimination. So take a few breaths beforehand. Awesome if you can take a few breaths in between bites. Awesome to continue breathing afterwards.
Breathing's good.
Breathing's really good. And, you know, we're in a hurry. We're busy. So
that's true.
I put down here another way to be... because I think slow eating is tough. I think it's a tall order. I have talked to a lot of people about eating slow and they have been like, I can't do it. Or I try to do it and it's really hard. Or they'll be horrified. Like I'll send them home with their homework and their homework, like the only home, they're like, really? That's it? And I'm like, yeah, I just want you to eat slow, relaxed meals this week. And they'll come back and I'll be like, how'd you do? And they'll be like, dude, I can't do it. I'll be like, okay, I know. I mean, you thought I was giving you one easy thing for homework and I actually was giving you... It sounds simple.
That's funny.
But it's hard. It's hard for people to do.
All right. So rather than, I mean, so come on, everyone, let's try this and
report
back.
Yeah, report back. So singleness of purpose. So when you're eating, eat. Don't be on your phone. Don't be watching TV. Don't be driving your car. Now, I eat in the car sometimes because it's just unavoidable. Like, I need a snack, whatever. I still try to breathe. I still try to be paying attention to driving and eating. But as much as you can, when you're eating, eat and be there eating. Because that is one way to really check in with knowing when is enough and what kind of food and how that food's going to get digested. But it's also a really helpful tool for eating slow. And we're talking about eating slow. And we're also talking about, like, I'm talking about trying to turn on digestion, because the number one side effect of poor digestion is
low energy.
Yes. Okay. So notice any toxic beliefs you have about eating. And a toxic belief would be something like, I can't believe I'm eating this. I can't believe I shouldn't be eating right now. I can't believe how hungry I am. This is going to make me fat. If I eat this fat, it's going to make my body fat. Those types of beliefs, not putting you in the parasympathetic dominance relaxation response, definitely putting you in the stress response, turning digestion down, causing us low energy. So that is our tip number one on practical, absolute strategies to increase energy. Any questions?
No.
Comments, concerns?
I do have a comment.
Dialogue, yes.
You know, one of the things that makes a lot of sense in this is you know, the when we eat, there's a huge amount of blood that says, go to stomach, help digest.
Yes.
You know, and, yes. And I could see how if you, like, just chow the stuff down fast, it's like your body's reacting. It's saying, holy smokes, yeah, there's all this food in here. I need to go digest. And so what happens is, and, you know, and this is, I remember the whole thing about, you know, you eat and then you go out and you try to do something and you end up with cramps and this and that and blah, right, blah, blah, because all the blood's gone, you know, yep, we're gonna go do this thing. So I get this idea of, like, you know, why multitasking is bad is, right, because give your body a chance to do its job,
right,
that it's doing right there. Because I can imagine it's like all that blood's gone to there. It's not available for if we need it for something else.
Totally.
And so I'm seeing the...
Remember when you were, yeah, a kid, and I don't know if this happened, but you, like, ate lunch and then you had to wait, like, 2 hours before you could go swimming? Did you ever, oh my God. And you're, like, looking at the clock. Like, I think it's been 2 hours. Like, it's been 20 minutes. No, it's been 2 hours. I promise.
I remember arguing with my parents. Much. It's like, hey, I went swimming after I ate. I didn't drown. So come on.
Yeah, you know, it's like
getting all logical with them.
I remember that. That was one thing that was really hard as a kid. And the other thing was really hard is I remember it was such a big deal when you got to start going barefoot, when it would start to be spring. And it would, you could go outside without shoes. Like, no, Mom, it's good. I'm good. I can do no shoes. Mom, they would be like, it's still winter. No, you have to put shoes. Oh, really? Those are my two things. Okay, that was a side note. Okay, so.
But it was funny.
But, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I am doing some research and note taking on, you know, we are going to do a podcast. Maybe we'll do it in the middle of our energy series on set point, which is this idea of our bodies. I operate from a general point of view that our bodies can be trusted to tell us when we've had enough to eat, when we need to move, and if we can just tune in. And so part of being able to learn how to be in, you know, and a lot of us are above our set point because we're overeating, because we think we're hungry or whatever. And if we can learn to be slow, relaxed eaters, turn on digestion, just like you're talking about, the body will learn to tell you and it'll be able to communicate better. But you have to be going slow enough. I mean, it's sort of like us having a conversation.
Yeah, that's a great point.
We're both sitting here, right? I mean, I'm not in my car driving away being like, hello, see you, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not going to work. Like, you have to be with somebody to be able to communicate. And it's the same thing with our bodies. And we've become disconnected from, yeah, that.
That's a great point, and I never thought about that.
Isn't it interesting? And it's, yeah.
Because if it's
thank
fun.
You.
I wonder,
a good point.
Yeah, no, I wonder, like how many times have I eaten something, and then, you know, sometimes you end up with an upset stomach,
right,
or you're not feeling good afterwards, and you know, did I just mow that down really fast,
right,
you know, and I missed the part where my body after the first couple of bites would have said no,
yeah,
but instead I just shoveled it down and my body went like way no,
yeah,
like, you know, like, what did you just do? But I haven't really thought about that. That it's like, you know, it's not even giving myself time, my body time to react to what I'm eating.
Yeah.
I may be eating it and it's like, it's, and the food's not what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Right now.
The food's not what your body wants. And have you ever had a meal with someone and you were like fighting? And then that meal sits in your stomach because you're totally not digesting because you're in stress response because you're arguing with someone. And you're, I mean, have you ever had that happen?
No,
oh my gosh. So that's even, there's, I mean, we're so mind body. I mean, that's why this podcast is talking about things from a mind body nutrition perspective.
So
because there is no just body and there is no just mind. Like it is all connected.
So when I go home next time, hey, Dad, no politics at the table.
Yeah, right? I mean, unless you love it, and then go right ahead. You might turn the digestive fires up. No,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'll leave on that.
All right, so that's tip one, slow down with eating. And those are some little ideas around slowing down. Mark David's The Slow Down Diet has a huge chapter on this. It's fabulous. I highly recommend it if you're into books and this is interesting to you. Okay, second tip around energy that has to do with food is to increase the quality of your food. So increasing the quality of your food can help with energy from several different angles. And number one is our bodies are designed to use what we eat, and it takes this substance that we put in our mouths and it goes through our digestive tract and it pulls out certain things that then become part of us.
It's what we need.
It's what we need. And then all of a sudden that broccoli is now part of Angela and part of it's not. Part of it's being eliminated and it's part of the whole deal. There is a certain set of nutrients that people need. We think about calories, which are the macronutrients like protein, fat, carbohydrates, but there are a ton of micronutrients like the vitamins and minerals, vitamin B and, you know, certain minerals and all these other things that your body needs, right?
Right? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you're eating low quality food, your body may be signaling you to continue eating because even if you may have had enough macronutrients in versus, you know, carbohydrates, protein, fat, technically for what you actually need energy wise, your body's going to tell you keep eating because it hasn't gotten the micronutrients.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like with when people are become deficient.
When
in
people
something.
Become deficient. And the body's going to naturally say, keep feeding me. It's not smart enough to be like,
yeah, like feed me this.
You need to feed me this. Well, sometimes because if you're going slow enough putting in healthy things.
Or you'd have to be really, really deficient. Like, you know, people with iron deficiencies get the cravings to like chew on ice or lick ashtrays.
Right. Ooh, yeah. Or
seriously,
I have a big hunk of beef.
Yeah.
Steak. Like I know.
But they sometimes don't even know. Imagine if you're a vegetarian and you're really iron deficient, you've never had a steak before. So how are you going to crave it? You're just craving something. You don't know what it is. So
and
they assume that you're licking ashtrays.
Yeah. And sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Those vegans, man, we got to keep them away from the ashtrays.
But I guess like lettuce, like strong lettuce cravings. I don't know why ice chewing. That's one of the things for iron deficiencies.
Isn't that
chewing
interesting?
On ice. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That is weird. I don't know. That would be a good Google.
Yeah.
Thing to look up. And sometimes the body will, you know, sometimes if you're real tuned in and you are eating healthy, the body will actually be like calling your name, like, I really need some blueberries, and there'll be something that you actually do need. I've definitely read about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes the body will just say hungry.
But that's typically more likely because that's what I learned with the sugar thing. When I was hooked on sugar, my body said sugar and it altered that form.
Right.
It said, you're thirsty for juice.
Yeah.
Oh no, now you're hungry for gummies.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it used those things of thirsty, hungry.
Right.
But, you know, it was weird.
And so with your sugar thing, have you found that eating more healthy proteins, lean meats, you know, adding in healthier foods has helped you with the sugar cravings? I know you said drinking water has helped.
Yeah, it's where, so I have been doing more proteins for breakfast.
And does that help?
A lot more. Where it has helped me a great deal is at night, and this is what, you know, we're talking about how it affects us at the end of the day, is even though after dinner I still have a sugar craving,
right?
You know, and I will, and I started to think about this, and I wanted to ask you about this, is because, you know, one of the things that, that I learned in the movie Fed Up was, you know, when we just take sugar into our bodies, whether it be a, just a soda or a candy bar or whatever it is, I mean, we're just getting a direct injection because we've got nothing in our stomach to slow it down, the absorption.
And
when we have other food, you know, and that's why they talked about sugars in nuts and things like that, where there's fiber in there to help slow down the absorption.
Right.
And so what I find is that I still get a little bit of a sugar craving, but I'm eating the sugar like right after my meal. So my absorption has been slowed down tremendously.
Yeah.
And then later, I'm not craving more sugar. And that's what I've noticed recently. I, at least, you know, it's just, you know, observation, but when I used to have like maybe an hour or an hour and a half after dinner, I'd have another sugar craving.
Right.
I'm not having it.
Wow.
So, you know, if that's because of the protein, then I'm still doing it. I have chosen not to break because it seems to be working.
Good. Well, and it's, you know, and you're doing something that I think is really important, which is doing a behavior modification and observing how it's working. Like you have some information, you got some inspiration from Fed Up, you've gotten some inspiration from this, from other sources, and you're like, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to see how it feels. And that's awesome because the more you can do that, it was just kind of like what we're talking in next week's episode, which we already did, which is if you can, you know, science is great, but to a certain extent, sometimes we need to really just tune into our own self and what's really going on, because you're going to get information from some people that say you don't need nearly that much protein. You're going to get information from people who love paleo. You're going to say you need more protein, and who's right?
Yeah, and also
no one's right.
I had something else to tell you about. Remember, I was telling you about the Pittsburgh Nerd podcast, and he does the weekly How's My Diet.
Oh yeah.
So he and this goes to weight. This is a total segue, but I just love this.
We're segueing. Everybody, get on the roller coaster. Here we go.
So he jumped on the scale and he gained a bunch of weight.
Yeah,
and he was just like, "What the?" And he's like, "I know. I've been, you know, it was the holidays, but it was honestly really disheartening for him."
Yeah,
is what he shared. Hmm. Here's the thing, though, is through observation, he said, all right, well, I bought a new car, so I'm not walking to the bus.
Oh, isn't
I'm not
that
walking
interesting?
Off the bus. Because I'm in the car, it's easier to swing by the fast food place.
Oh, my.
When I've had a rough day, because
he
had like a hard day one day.
So.
And I was like, wow, there it is right there, this observation. So he's like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. And I think that's, yeah, it was cool. It's like, it would have been, he immediately, like, what else would you? You look at what you're eating. Well, what other behaviors might be there, you know, that could be leading to that?
That could be around
it.
Yeah,
so that was really a fascinating thing.
Yeah,
so.
That is a cool thing. That even isn't even too much of a segue. That was really,
not too bad, that
was really pertinent. well done. So I just want to just address just real quick about that sugar thing that you were talking about. You know, my experience also is like that. Like when I have a cookie in the afternoon for a snack, I am so hungry at dinner.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So if I have like nuts and seeds for a snack and then dinner and then a cookie after dinner, I'm good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have found for myself that if I'm a person that eats treats, I have sugar sometimes, but I have it anchored around meals, and then I don't tend to overeat it because I've already had enough quality nutrition that I want something sweet and I have something and I don't need to eat five cookies because I'm hungry. I can have one and be satisfied and then be done, because you're right. And it definitely does. The protein helps anchor it. Protein takes longer to digest in your system. So, you know, I'm not surprised that you're having that result from that. That is probably something that would work for a lot of people.
And I can imagine too, just that the energy impact of just having a sugar, a carb sugar, which
right.
a cookie would be.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, okay, you just put in some sugars, you're going to get a quick rush, but then a crash.
Because the body pulls out a bunch of insulin and then it crashes down. Whereas if you have a lower glycemic snack or a more macronutrient-based snack, which has protein, carb, and fat, your body's going to just release a smaller amount of insulin and you're going to have a more steady energy level.
And here's
and you won't have that crash. Now, not everybody's like this. Some people may be able to have, they may be like, whatever, I have a cookie and I'm fine. Great. Seriously, some people are going to be less susceptible to the this. I mean,
everyone's insulin levels are different.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing is, and this is what they talked about in Fed Up, what I learned is that person that does have that, all they take in is sugar, they get the quick energy.
Right.
Talking about energy here.
Right.
And they get the crash. That sugar also has a mental component.
Right.
There's an addictive quality to it.
Yeah.
And that once you've had that crash, you're more likely
to
reach for more of it. Whereas if you'd have blown that off right then and there and done something else, like one thing that I've been doing lately is before the gym, I just need I need to make sure I got a little fuel in me.
Right.
Boom, some carrots and some hummus. I've been good to go, and I haven't had the craving. Whereas in the past, I might have done an energy drink or something, or a power bar type of thing, which typically has a lot of sugar in it.
Right,
and then it's
really refined.
It's super refined, and then when I get done. It's like if I think about it, I'm more likely to end up snacking the rest of the night
because I created this
pattern. And that was the thing they talked about in Fed Up is if you're going to fuel yourself, if you're low on energy and you talking about quality food.
Yeah.
It's like, look at, for observational purposes, it's like, look what you did for the quick gain. And what did you gain at the end of it all versus was there an alternative? And like you talked earlier about choosing the right food for what you're doing. This morning I was reminded to, eat my breakfast before I came to work out. And I
Kendall can be a little crabby when he doesn't eat breakfast.
Once. Yeah, exactly. I've tried it all. I've tried cereal. I've tried a regular breakfast. I've tried, any number of things, fruits, blah, blah, blah. Oatmeal flat out gets me through a workout better than anything else.
Yep.
And I don't feel, and then afterwards I go have a protein breakfast.
Yep.
But there's something about that for me, getting that glucose from the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And I'm talking a rough cut, raw, no sugar. It ain't sexy.
That's sexy.
But it fuels me, and I get through the workout.
Well, and the other thing about that, and we're definitely getting a little more into rhythm, which we're going to talk about too, but the other thing about that is that workout is early. So if you were to get up and have oatmeal for breakfast and then not work out till 10, that wouldn't work.
Enough. But when I'm talking an hour before,
but we're working out at 6:30 or 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've been up for maybe 45 minutes, an hour.
If that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I need something quick to make sure I can get it through there. And to me, I've learned that that's the proper fuel.
That works for you. And that's awesome. So that's that. I love that you're doing that with the sugar. I wanted to just say, Fed Up is a movie that Hanno keeps referring to, in case you don't. It's a documentary. Yeah.
It's
called Fed Up.
And it's about sugar and it's kind of propaganda, but it'll really wake you up.
Yeah.
It's got some great stuff in it.
It's been sort of a game changer for Hanno. So just in case you were wondering what this Fed Up nonsense is that we're talking about. It's not nonsense. It's a good movie.
Okay. I totally distracted you. What else we got?
You're totally good. Okay. So we're still talking a little bit about quality. And here's, we're talking about increasing energy. So increasing the quality. So if your body's asking you to eat more food, that's going to slow down your digestion. It's going to make your body have to shift through this junk food to try to get enough nutrition to assimilate. It's going to be easier for the body to store some of this as fat because it isn't able to use it. And you're giving it so many calories, but it's not getting enough nutrition. So it's working really hard to find the nutrition. That's an energy drain in addition to causing the digestive system to be more taxed, which is also, as we know, poor digestion. The number one side effect is low energy.
Low energy.
So.
And?
Yeah, right. And so one thing that I find helpful when talking about quality is shooting for something like 75% to 80%. So I think there are very few of us that are going to always be like 100% organic, whole self-prepared foods all the time. Like, that would be awesome. I can't do that.
You're talking food versus product.
So I'm talking food versus processed versus maybe even McDonald's. Okay. So let's say you love McDonald's, or let's say you love Oreos or something like that. I'm not asking you to give those things up. I'm asking you, first of all, to try to put in other healthy stuff first so that you don't want to eat the entire sleeve of Oreos. Or if you go to McDonald's for dinner, then maybe really try to get a nice, healthy, organic salad with a lot of cool stuff on it for lunch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're trying for the, and maybe not go to McDonald's every day, but we're trying for 75 to 80% of high quality food. And then the rest of it, you know, we're going to have what we're going to have, or we're going to have a day where it's like, I mean, Rob and I have this like every other week or every third week where he's like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, it is pizza night for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't think pizza is the most nutrient dense food out there. I wouldn't consider it the highest quality. We do get organic, you know, whatever. But I feel like for the most part, I'm between 75 and 80% of high quality food
in
with
your,
the rest of my
life.
Rest of my week.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that that can be helpful. And then the other thing, the other point I want to make and acknowledge around quality food is it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. It is more expensive to go buy a healthy organic salad with lean, organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised chicken than it's going to be to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, there's no question. Yeah. Don't even get me started on the government subsidies and how that's all playing out in our health. The way that I'm going to encourage you to look at it is the best that you can, invest what you can, and look at it as health insurance.
Yeah, there's a, with a lot of talk recently on minimum wages and how the wages aren't coming up. And they had this story, it was on NPR, I think, and it was a family, and, you know, the family had to change the food they were getting. There wasn't as much income coming in. You know, the husband that, you know, was doing construction or whatever, and the wife had a job, and, you know, things changed, and they had to lower the quality of food. And so they had a lot more canned, a lot more packaged, a lot more sodium. And one of the things is the wife of the family had pretty much minimized her migraines to once every maybe 3 or 4 months. And when the food quality went down, it started to become once every month and then almost once a week. And it was just to hear this, just because, you know, and if the,
and just because my the wages, guts out
yeah,
right
and
now.
It was tough, but it really showed about how here's a person who has figured out that the quality of their food affects their health.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the ramifications. And talk about energy. I mean, if you're having to deal with a migraine once a week or every day, you know, how much energy do you have? You know, hardly any. So.
Right. It's there's no easy, quick solution as far as things like that go. Absolutely. It's a really tough spot. I know there are a lot of people in this spot. And the other side of that is there's a lot of people that still have their jobs. Both parents are working. They've been but they're working hard. They're taking the kids to their thing, or the kids are getting themselves to their thing. They're picking up the kids at 6. They're going to the grocery store. They're coming home. Like, who? Yeah, you want to sit in the kitchen and spend an hour chopping vegetables and dicing and doing
no,
all.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there's not one part of me that's saying that this is an easy thing, but I do think that trying to put it on your radar, and there are, and then starting to get creative. There are people out there that are working from a lower income level, finding ways to make healthier food choices. And they are looking at it as an investment. And again, that's why we're shooting for like a certain percentage, even if it's a little bit here and there. I have another great resource for someone if this is sort of your situation. There's a gal online. Her name is Robin Opshaw. She lives in Utah. And her website is called The Green Smoothie Girl. This gal has got some great green smoothies, is a whole nother topic, and we love those. But she's also got a lot of great recipes and some great information on her blog. And she's got a book called 12 Steps to Whole Foods. And she's got some recipes in this book called 12 Steps to Whole Foods that have like bean-based vegetable broth dishes that can feed a family of four a couple of meals. And we're talking about, you do it in your slow cooker and it's really inexpensive.
Yeah.
Beans, if you can tolerate beans, and then you add in your, you know, the highest quality meat that you can afford as a you know, as a complement to this already super fiber-based, high nutrition-based soup, stew, and it's not as expensive. It's going to be less expensive to take a steak and, you know, chop it up and put it in this slow cooker than it is going to be to have a steak and broccoli. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm, again, not to say that this is easy and not to say that it's not a problem, because I think it is, and I am well aware of, you know, whatever. But I do believe that if this is something that's important to you, there are solutions out there on how, I mean, you could probably type in, you could probably Google healthy foods on a shoestring budget or something like that. And I think you would come up with some, you know,
Well, remember what the Hunger Coalition does?
The Hunger Coalition here in Idaho is great.
Fantastic. And anywhere where you're at, look for, here's the thing is, there's such a, remember they were talking about how much there's a stigma of people who get a little bit down on their luck. They're in a bad place. They don't want to go and get a handout.
Right.
And yet they finally go down there and there's, it's just a wealth of information.
Right.
They've got all of this food that's been donated. They even had, remember how many crock pots they had there?
Yep.
And they would teach everybody how to cook.
Yeah.
And had, it was unreal what a resource, and they're like, come to us.
So it's you know, it's possible, it's not impossible. If it feels overwhelming, just do the next thing that you think you can bite off. You know, the thing about a crock pot and with food shopping and all that is I oftentimes will donate a couple hours on my weekend to shop, to do the chopping, to have this stuff, so that when I come home from work and I'm tired and I don't feel like getting a bunch of vegetables out of the fridge and washing them and chopping them up and getting them there, I just pull them out of the fridge. They're already all chopped up and I just assemble, you know, my salad with my whatever on there. And same thing with a slow cooker. If you've got all that stuff kind of chopped up, or you throw it in your Cuisinart and you just throw it all in the slow cooker and head to work for the day and you come home and dinner's done, you know, 10 hours later or whatever. So there's solutions. And then again, we're going with the 75 to 80% rule. There's going to be those nights where you're like, yeah, Rob, it's pizza night.
Yeah. Hey, I got something that popped into my head, because last night I went at the beginning of the week and I bought various meals that I was going to have to prepare.
Yeah.
And then in between, I knew I was going to have some just quickies.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed last night is the meal that I prepared that I had to take time to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a priority. I had to prioritize, I'm going to make dinner tonight.
Right.
I ate it slower and I enjoyed it more.
Yeah, right.
Because I took the time to make
quality.
It. And I really think that that's something worth observing is like when you prepare your own meal.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, throw it in the microwave or whatever, are you appreciating it more? Are
yeah.
you slowing down more? Are you savoring the bites?
That's and a good I twist on
night.
Quality.
Yeah.
That's a good twist. I like it. Yeah. So quality is going to help with energy. So we are talking about energy and we're going side to side on the food things, but these are the practical food strategies that can help aid in energy. So number one was slow down with eating. Number two
quality.
Was quality. And number three is eating rhythm. So eating, I know, here we go. Okay, so now if you are eating sporadically and you have all the energy you could possibly want, great, good for you, continue on. We're talking to people that could perhaps need more of an energy boost, that are wondering if there's any way they could up their game. Try this out. Okay. So I'm not saying this is the right
rhythm?
Way to do it. We're talking rhythm. Oh, yeah. Do it again.
Rhythm.
Awesome. Okay. So eating rhythm. So, as we talked about briefly earlier with the sugar and the refined things, eating breakfast in the morning can have a huge impact on energy throughout the day. And for a lot of people, if they're eating a breakfast of a donut, cornflakes, what's a healthy cereal? Wheaties.
Like cashew or something like that?
Yeah. Those types of breakfasts for some people can be, pretty much mostly carbohydrates can cause a huge spike up in the sugar. The body releases a lot of extra insulin, and then all
bloating.
Of a sudden you have the crash. So mid-morning. So notice if at mid-morning...
If you have the crash, yeah.
If you have the crash. And what we do is sometimes we didn't even realize we're having the crash. We just at 10 o'clock automatically have another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or a coffee and a donut. Right?
I'm a banana guy myself.
So, bananas good. And again, this is not saying that cereal's bad. I'm just saying that if you're looking to change, you know, you're looking to up your game with your energy, you could consider trying a breakfast that has a little bit more macronutrient balance, meaning a little more protein and maybe even a little more fat. So for me, when I have a waffle for breakfast, I am starving by 11.
Yep.
Starving.
I am too.
So hungry and tired, and I need something. Like, yeah. I can't keep going. I need something. So it isn't even about being hungry, but I'm like, I can't possibly go do that. If I have a protein shake or eggs or some sort of a protein for breakfast, and even better if I have it with some fat. Like, if I have eggs, I have the whole egg. So you're getting some fat. And I cook it in coconut oil. Oh, my God, it's so good. Oh, my God. Or if I have a protein shake, I have my favorite protein powder, which I love, which is Sun Warrior. And then I will oftentimes add some coconut oil. I love it. And then when I come into lunch, I'm like, all right, I'm good. It's time to have lunch.
Coconut oil's like, it's getting some big hurrahs.
Oh, yeah. Coconut oil's a...
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's mostly saturated fat.
Yeah.
But it's, again, that high quality, and it's not... And the thing about coconut oil is it's not... You can use... I use it to cook a lot because it doesn't get as... oils can get changed in their molecules or whatever, and
based on the heat.
Yeah. And coconut oil, it does not. It maintains its structural.
So it's like a canola oil in that regard.
No, canola oil is actually not very healthy.
No, I know it's not, but I'm saying it's got a high heat. Canola oil can handle high heat better than, like, let's say an olive oil
because
canola oil is basically crap.
Oil's already been high heated.
Yeah,
and destroyed.
But
so it's not going to alter the taste.
So if you're using canola oil, throw that away.
Yeah,
go
and get
yourself
some coconut
oil and try that. It'll probably work just as well.
Yeah, and you're right. Olive oil is very sensitive to the heat. You only want to use olive oil at medium heat or lower.
That's what I do. I have both in my... But I think I'm going to have to add some coconut oil.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sounds good.
And it's really good. So so eating rhythm, get your... And the other thing about... eating rhythm and having breakfast is hopefully you haven't had anything to eat since dinner the night before. So your body has been in this fasting state, and giving your body some nutrition in the morning will help stoke your metabolism and get your body revved up and
ready to
use.
Is that what they call it? Break fast?
Break fast. You're so cute. You're so cute. Then your metabolism's revved up, so your digestion's going to be more turned on. And what happens when we have poor digestion? Number one contributor side effect of poor digestion is
low energy.
Meh.
Okay. Eating rhythm.
What we want is rhythm.
And to think we almost did this without sound effects. Like, how would that have happened? Metabolism is at its very highest between noon and 1:30. So lunch is your best bet to have your big meal.
Really?
Slow, relaxed. Metabolism is at highest because we are on, it's our biocircadian rhythms.
I need a who knew sound effect.
Who knew? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we want our metabolism to be at full board. That's going to help us eat, have that food be taken into our body, broken down, translating out into more energy. Okay. This is my favorite, and I swear by this one for energy. Eating 2 to 3 hours before bed helps ensure quality sleep, which of course will help you fully rest and improve energy. So listen to this. This is from the Slow Down Diet. By consuming a big meal right before bed, much of the metabolic energy that is usually spent on maintenance, detoxification, repair, and growth is necessarily rerouted into digestion. That's simply how the body works. Short-term survival needs to take precedence over long-term ones. So, with an excess of blood flow and metabolism focused on processing your meal as you sleep, you'll most likely wake up feeling congested and heavy because you didn't detoxify fully during the night. Slow Down Diet, Mark David. So, if your body has to be digestion, we talked about this earlier, how much energy, digestion is the number one energy user of all the bodily functions. Like the body's, to digest the food is the number, it takes the most energy of anything else the body does.
And yet sleep and nighttime is when our body is regenerating and should be getting us, you know, re-energized.
Yes, getting interesting. The energy during the night is hopefully being spent on maintenance, detoxification, repair, and growth.
Gotcha.
As opposed to but because digestion takes so much energy, and digestion, you can't have the food just sitting there.
Yeah.
So the body's like, okay,
so
well,
it needs to take care of it.
So it's
got to
take care of it, so it's not doing the other things.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
who knew?
So you can, that's pretty obvious. We don't really need to draw too many lines there to see how that would affect energy.
Yeah.
Right? So eating a slow, relaxed dinner and being done eating at least 2, if not 3 hours before bed is awesome for optimal energy. And another little tip, and we've talked about this also, is if you can go for a walk after dinner, that aids in digestion. That helps your body. So not a jog or a hike up the mountain, but a nice,
gentle walk
can help aid in digestion, the fresh air, breathing. Remember, we talked about breathing.
Yeah.
These things can really help. So if you end up eating a little bit later meal, like it kills Rob, poor Rob. Because I eat dinner so early, because if I eat dinner early, I feel so much better the next morning. So I go to bed early, so I'm eating dinner almost always at 5 o'clock. He's like, by the time we're 60, we're going to be eating dinner at 3. I'm like, maybe. And I'm not apologizing for it, because it's awesome. And it just kills me. Like, some people be like, yeah, we have dinner reservations tonight at 8:30. And I think, oh my God, I would never be able to sleep.
That's a good tip for me in the future, inviting you for anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't go to dinner at 8:30. And I understand if that's what people do. What is that?
I don't know.
But we're talking about energy, and I'm very interested in energy. So try it out. Try it on. See what you think. And then a little bit more about rhythm from a dynamic eating psychology perspective. Is finding a natural, healthy rhythm is about learning to respect time and natural flow. So experimenting with some of these times and working with how the body's naturally set up to go can be very empowering and enlightening, and it's a way to evolve. Again, this isn't the only way to do it, and this isn't right for everybody, but trying this stuff out can be a way to work with the universe, as opposed to being like, well, I'm going to do it the way I'm going to do it.
So you're talking about as a tool of managing energy.
Yes,
I am.
One
of the things we should do is try to use our observation and experimentation and figure out what works best for us as far as eating times and rhythm. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I just said,
okay,
except for in better words. Very good.
I'm just giving myself a yeehaw.
Okay, and so finishing off here, this is a little bit more on fatigue or lack of energy. Say, sometimes fatigue or lack of energy is life calling our attention to some of these basic strategies that are more supportive to the body. So when I was younger, I didn't eat breakfast, and I ate dinner late, and then I drank a lot of alcohol on top of that. Okay. Right. So, my body was definitely, my liver was busy. I know, danger, Will Rob, was busy digesting and trying to just deal with all that alcohol as opposed to maintenance, detoxification, and all of that. Right. So as I've gotten older, life is asking me to become more aware of what are some better ways that I can support my body instead of trashing it and just seeing what happens. So if you're coming onto this podcast and you're like, yeah, that's kind of me, I'm not feeling as energetic, that this is one of the things lessons that this symptom is asking us to acknowledge is, are there some basic food strategies, techniques, and tools that I need to be more aware of and that I need to try out to see if I can support my body in a better way? As opposed to, you know, when I was younger, it was all about just making sure I was thin enough.
Yeah.
Whatever it took. Who the hell cares?
Well, because we weren't cared about the damage.
So what's that song? Is it Eric Clapton?
Yeah, cocaine.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. often we can quote unquote less healthy things when younger, but as we age, the body begins to experience the wear and tear of life, and then it's time to step up and learn to take better care of our soul's vessel.
Especially after 35, when our metabolism changes quite a bit.
Zippity doo dah.
It was amazing how I passed that and was like, oh wow, something just changed.
I know, isn't it?
Like, you're, it was like, a trip. It was like, yeah. You know, and it was weird, as I was told, because of my allergies, I was told many, many, many years ago when I was a kid by a pediatrician, saying that, you know, I'm going to start having some immune deficiency things, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody brought up that fact that it's also about the time that your metabolism changes or you have a significant one. And it was fascinating when that time came and went, and I was like, oh wow, I can tell there's been some changes.
Yeah.
You know, and to adapt to them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And my body went through such a change at 39 that I had a full on health crisis.
Yeah.
That pulled me away from life.
And if you want to know about that, there's a podcast called Angela's Origins, and she talks all about it, which it was really good.
Oh, that was quite a journey. No. It was quite a journey. And, you know, looking back, I don't want to go through it again. Thank you. I don't want to go through it again. But looking back, it was definitely exactly like I talk about, like symptom, crisis asking me to evolve. And when I chose to look at it that way, like, what do I need to do differently? Okay, now I need to do my life is different now for the better, and in a way that I would have never probably chosen because it wasn't broken. Like, it's hard to make major shifts.
You know,
if we're not in pain, or something's not working.
Well, that's why they say pain is the touchstone of growth.
Exactly.
It's because most of us need to be beat over the head before we're willing to make a significant change.
Well, and sometimes it's not even a matter of, it's just a matter of, well, it's working, so if it's not broken, why fix it?
Yeah, why should I fix it? You know. Yeah.
And I operate from that basic strategy for a long time.
Well, and that was, and you know, one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit about is what we're going to be talking about next week. And one of the things I want to talk about, you know, one thing that references that is this idea of like, oh, well, I look thin, so I don't need to change how I'm eating.
Right, well, right. Good segue.
Thank you. So speaking of, so are we done with food?
We're done with food.
Now
we're going to talk about next week's podcast.
Well, when the next energy topic is going to be?
2 weeks from now.
Okay. And what's that going to be?
So we're going to talk about, I don't know yet. There's so many to choose from. But I'm thinking we're going to talk about boundaries.
Okay.
Saying yes or no.
Oh, okay. We're talking about the whole energy again and taking on too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Or not taking on a little. I got a few things. I think we'll do something like that. That's so, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. Because next week we're going to release an episode that we recorded about 3 weeks ago that did not get released. I don't know if you noticed, we missed a week. And we had to do a little, some decision making on.
Hanno had to do a little editing, you guys. We had our first little podcast spat.
But it's a great topic, and I hope you guys check it out, because it is about this idea of it, the myth, quote unquote, of fat versus fit.
Right. And the idea that I have to lose weight to be healthy.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you that you need to, it's best to come at it from eating, doing healthy things to be healthy, and let the weight land where the weight lands. Because it's not, the goal of losing weight is not going to necessarily get you healthier, but doing healthy things.
Yeah. And
like Hanno was just alluding to, with this idea that, you know, if you don't have weight issues and you're doing unhealthy practices and not moving your body.
Because you know, why should I change?
Why should I change? I look great. Right.
But that was my big concern I have a high metabolism. You know, I've never had to deal with weight issues.
Right.
But what am I doing to my arteries? What am I doing to, you know, what's my cholesterol level? What am I doing to my body?
Right.
Because I can go eat fast food every day and it doesn't show on me.
Right.
You know, and that's where I was, you know, and that's that part that's plays into what next week is going to be about.
So that's coming up. Yeah. So I hope you guys listen. Hanno has a great intro talking a little bit more about it, and then he did a really good job editing. It's pretty funny. I was listening to it today.
Oh, did you listen to it?
I did listen to it, and when you got to the part where we started having our little spat online, he did some great editing, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So.
Cool.
Anyway,
all right. Where do we find you?
I am at Angela's Gym on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I am at goingtoangelas.com on the web. And then I do online coaching. I have a gym here in Ketchum, We do the podcast, of course, so you can totally hit me up.
Yeah, send us a message. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
It is fun.
And I want to say thank you to Monkey Tongue Productions.
Thank you.
For producing Angela's awesome podcast. And of course, to all you guys that are listening, love it, love
it. Yeah, I'm going to do a little hat tip to Tony and his wife, who are always listening and retweeting.
Yes, thanks,
and
you guys.
It's
very, it's awesome.
You guys are great. So
we love
really
that. I love getting that little tweet.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
Like listening.
To Angela's awesome podcast. It's great. It's great.
So thank you very much.
I'm always wondering, like, okay, do you listen to the whole thing? Or
well, that's funny because some people cut it off and stop listening when it gets to the end credits.
Yeah.
But I've made a point to listen all the way because you never know when your name's going to get dropped. and it's funny because there was this one time where Neil and Annalise on Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks were like, well, you're probably not listening right now, Hanno, but da da da. And I tweeted, I'm like, I listened to the end.
Oh, I love it. That's so awesome. Okay. So for this week, eat slow, find your rhythm and look for as much quality as possible. Bye, everybody.